You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
De-escalation. Sagar Meghani at the Pentagon.
The Statue of Liberty has been closed after a report of a suspicious package. One man said he had just made it up to the statue's crown when a park ranger got a call on his phone and announced it's time to leave. He says the evacuation was orderly. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
A memorial service was held on the island of Malta for the estimated 800 migrants who died in the worst ever loss of life in the Mediterranean. USA's John Clemens reports.
Two dozen caskets containing the only bodies recovered from the weekend capsizing that left an estimated 800 dead were laid out for a memorial service on the grounds of Malta's main hospital. Prime Minister David Cameron of Great Britain spoke to Europe on satellite about his plan to help those that may try similar crossings in the future.
As the country in Europe with the biggest defense budget, we can make a real contribution. What I'll be offering today is the Royal Navy flagship, HMS Bulwark, also with three helicopters and two other border patrol ships, all of which will be able to help with these operations.
I'm John Clemens.
Airlines are seeing record-high profits thanks to cheaper jet fuel. Like motorists, the airlines have been saving money at the pump since oil prices began plunging last summer. Prices are down 40%. The profit at American Airlines was a record $932 million in the first quarter, even though passengers flew fewer times. The other three U.S. airline giants reported similar results in recent days. Another ice cream company has taken products off shelves. Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams of Ohio has reported listeria in their product. At closing on Wall Street, the Dow was up 6 points, the S&P had gained 4, and the NASDAQ closed up 36. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, let's talk about the weather and then we'll get to the sports guys. It's been a little cold, a little nippy, and if you have plants out, better cover them tonight because there's going to be patchy frost, low of about 27 degrees, and in the morning there will be frost, but it's going to go up to high 50s and sunny tomorrow. Saturday night, partly cloudy, but the low will only be in the mid-30s, so that shouldn't be as much of a problem, and mostly sunny on Sunday. High of about 62 degrees, but certainly not as warm as we'd like it to be at this time of year. And that's the weather, but it should actually be a nice day to go out if you want to play some baseball on the weekend and to get outside to do some hiking, some running, and talking about hiking, running, and sports. We're here with the sports guys, and joining me today, hopefully two more will drag in, but it's Ken Milstray, and Ken and I were talking about the fact that you know, we haven't been together on the program for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Pat. Great to see you again.
Good to see you.
Hopefully the other two sports guys will be here. You know, it's been kind of a patchwork kind of thing we've been working for the last several weeks. But, you know, exciting times. You know, seems like everything's exciting times now. You know, the NFL season never ends, right?
Oh.
I mean, right now we can talk about the upcoming draft.
Six more days. Can you believe? April 30th.
Yep, it's one of the biggest days of the year in the NFL. We've got the Major League Baseball season in full swing. The Mets have won 11 in a row, taking on the Yankees tonight at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees are hot. They've won seven out of their last 10. We've got the NHL playoffs with the Rangers and the Islanders. We've got the NBA playoffs, for those of you still interested and awake. Apparently, they tell me the Nets are involved in that. Next week, we have the Kentucky Derby. Next week, we have boxing makes a, I wouldn't say a return, but boxing,
yeah.
boxing is actually
Mayweather
on.
Mayweather and
Pacquiao next week.
Pacquiao?
When was the last time we talked boxing?
I know.
It's been years. And I used to be a huge boxing fan.
Well,
and over the years, it's just kind of faded away. And it's good to see that we're actually having a relevant boxing match next week.
And that's going to be televised, right?
You know,
yeah, no, it is.
Is it pay-per-view or is it?
I'm sure it's pay-per-view. Maybe not. Maybe not pay.
I'm against pay-per-view.
I know.
Some of the
boxing and wrestling are so expensive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. For a private citizen, I thought I saw $89 or $99. I would have to go get several friends to chip in on that, or else go to a local establishment, a bar or something like that, because I just can't see spending $89, $99 for a boxing match. You know, used to be back in the days of Mike Tyson, and even prior to that with Larry Holmes and Muhammad Ali, boxing was front and center, and it's been so long I couldn't tell you the last big boxing match, but it's good to see. And who knows, maybe it will breathe some life into a dying sport. You know, it's amazing. It used to be boxing and horse racing. Those were the two big sports at one point in this country. And now we talk horse racing on Kentucky Derby Day. And if somebody has a chance to win, you know, a horse has a chance to win the Kentucky Derby, like, and win the Triple Crown like last year, we continue to talk about it. And if not, it just kind of fades into obscurity. So these other sports have all kind of moved in and really pushed boxing and horse racing aside.
Well, that's true. Of course, now, you know, tennis and golf. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, as I said, every once in a while, I'll bring up bull riding. Believe it or not, it's a huge sport in the Midwest and out West. And, you know, kids are, you know, they start when they're little. And, you know, a lot of people, again, like football, they talk about how dangerous it is. And it really, you do get hurt when
I'm
you're
sure.
doing bull riding.
You wouldn't catch me riding a bull.
But it's an exciting sport to watch.
I'm sure. Hey, speaking of exciting sports, just a second ago when we were listening to the weather, you referenced the NFL schedule. And you seemed a little bit glum about the Packers schedule.
Well,
talk to me about the Packers schedule and why you're not excited.
Well, you know, actually, I wish they were playing, they're playing the Eagles in a preseason. So I'd actually wish they were playing the Eagles. They're starting out. They've got a tough schedule. Their first two games, they're playing Chicago, the Bears, in Chicago, and that's always a tough matchup. I don't care,
right.
You know what. And then they have to play the Seahawks, their second game, and then they're playing a lot of people like, you know, Kansas City, San Francisco, the Rams, the Chargers.
So they're playing the AFC West.
Yeah.
And, right? So that's Raiders,
Broncos,
Chargers, Broncos,
yep. And then they're
Chiefs.
California Panthers. And, of course, they always play the Lions twice, Minnesota twice, the Bears twice. But I don't know. And then
Oakland. As NFC champ, you have theoretically the toughest schedule, right?
Exactly.
So it's part of being the NFC champ.
No, that's true. But of course, we're looking, as you know, we go out for a couple games. We could get, actually, this year, we could actually get two preseason games because we can't select the games. So I'm just hoping that we have regular season games. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're playing on Thanksgiving. They're playing the Bears. So
that's,
you know, that's one of – well, apparently the Cowboys are playing I think the Eagles are playing. No, wait. The Cowboys are playing, and I'm trying to remember if the Giants are playing Thanksgiving.
The Giants are not.
They're not. Uh-huh. Then maybe it's the Eagles that are playing.
I think you're right.
There are three games on Thanksgiving. Can you imagine how unhappy some families are going to be?
We got the Lions are playing.
The Lions are playing the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure that they've been playing the Cowboys for the last few years. So I haven't looked, but I think the Lions play the Cowboys. The Packers play Chicago.
Packers play the Bears on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, night.
Thanksgiving night. Right.
Yep. So they have the night game, but I think there's a third game that day.
Well, I thought it was the Packers-Bears was the third game. I thought the Lions played first, then the Cowboys, and then the third game.
I think the Cowboys play the Lions. And then the third game is a Packer-Bear game. So, in any event, guess the last game at Lambeau for the year is January 3rd.
My birthday.
And they're playing Minnesota.
Very exciting. It should be nice and brisk, say the least.
Toasty game. And, of course, you know, Thanksgiving, a night game at Thanksgiving can be very cold in Green Bay.
Oh, it's always cold. It's 4th of July. There's two seasons in Green Bay, Pat. There's 4th of July and the rest of the year. Summer is the 4th of July, and then you got the rest of the year.
But actually, a game I'd like to see this year, because of the location, is there on the 27th of December, they're playing in Arizona. So that wouldn't be a bad...
No, that's a good one. Try to get tickets to that one, Pat. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's just a couple days after Christmas, which means it's going to be, you know, airfare is going to be through the roof for that game, getting down to the south right after Christmas. Anywhere.
Right.
Know, anywhere after Christmas. Same thing at Thanksgiving. I mean, trying to fly anywhere at Thanksgiving is a bit pricey. But
there's one thing. You asked me if I was happy about the schedule. There's one thing I'm not happy about as far as the Giants are concerned.
That?
Pat, I've been a Giant fan for 50 years. Let's call it for what it is. What I like to do on my Sundays, I get up, read the paper, sometimes go to church, sometimes not, and sit down, be home at 1 o'clock and watch the Giants. That's what I do. You know how many 1 o'clock games they have this season? 4.
Oh, you're kidding.
They're all 4:30 games, or they have 4 of the feature games. They're Sunday night, Monday night, or Thursday night, and the rest of them are 4 o'clock games.
But it depends. Now, see, I like the 4 o'clock games if it's in the fall when it's nice weather, because you can do something, and, you know, you don't have to sit inside in beautiful weather, and, you know, come winter, I agree with you. But
it ruins my whole day. What do I do now? Because in the fall, right, the beautiful weather, I watch the Giants, and at 4 o'clock I go rake the leaves and do whatever else I have to do. Now, it's going to throw me off completely.
Well, that's interesting, because a lot of us, in fact, there were a couple times last year that we actually taped the games. And then, of course, we had to be very careful that we didn't put a radio on, that we didn't answer the phone, and, you know, we didn't want anybody to... call us and give us a heads up about the score. But that's very interesting, because I like to, in the fall have, games in the late game or even the evening game, although the evening games can get much too late. Yeah. So Bill Wolfson just came in, and we were talking about schedules, and I complained about my Packers schedule, and I thought it was interesting that, what do you think about fall games early afternoon? Do you prefer a later game in the early fall so you can do something else?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Pat.
That's Bill, by the way, gang.
Yeah, I am an Eagles fan. And
no kidding.
No kidding. And a Jets fan. And because of my association with you, Pat, I've become a Packers rooter as well. I like the idea of a 4:30 game that lets you get done what you need to do during the day, that lets you have dinner at halftime, and it lets you do the kinds of things that other people need to do. Plus, I'm a boater, so you get this beautiful fall weather. You want to be in and back at the dock by about 4:15. Then you want to go out to dinner, so you can go sit in some nice place, have a drink, nice meal, and watch the game on TV.
Now, that's true. So that really works for you. In fact, that's probably a better time than the evening game. The other thing with the Packers is they're playing four Thursday games. Now, two of them are preseason.
That's brutal.
And two of them are during the season. And, of course, one is Thanksgiving. But, Bill, do you know when your Eagles are playing my Packers this year?
They're not.
No, yes, they are.
Is that the Thanksgiving game?
It's a preseason.
Game?
No, it's a preseason.
A preseason game. Now, I didn't look at that.
Yeah. They're playing, Eagles are playing in Green Bay on August 29th.
Well,
an evening game.
I don't like those Thursday games at all. They completely throws me off.
No,
football should be on.
I'm sorry, that's not a Thursday game. That's a Saturday game. The Packers are playing the New Orleans Saints on September 3rd, and that's a Thursday night game. But they are playing the Eagles in preseason. So. But what do you think about the Eagles?
Well, if you notice,
season?
The Eagles don't make much of a – they're not much of a road team this year, which is a good thing. Their longest road trip is to Dallas. Everything else, any West Coast team they play at home. They've got the Jets as an opponent. They've got Detroit Thanksgiving evening. They play the Detroit Lions.
Okay, so
– No,
Packers, not in the evening.
The Packers are – playing the Lions on Thanksgiving.
No.
The Bears,
Packers
the Bears,
are
Bears rather.
The Bears in the
right.
evening.
And even
so,
then, it's a 4 o'clock game. And I think the Eagles play the Lions at 4 o'clock.
Oh, so it's not the Cowboys Lions?
I don't think so. I think Dallas
See,
plays.
See, remember I said I thought the Eagles played on Thanksgiving, but I thought Dallas played the Lions. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
I think there's going to be three games Thanksgiving
there are, Day. There are going to be three games. Can you imagine people who have half a family who are diehard football fans and watch anything, and the others who want to eat? I mean, the problem this year is it's going to be hard to get dinner. I mean, it's always hard with us if we have the Cowboys and, you know,
the Cowboys,
the Eagles or the Packers playing. But now, I mean, you know, I'm not going to have dinner at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, isn't that why Pete Rozelle invented halftime?
Yeah, but do you know how hard it is to eat Thanksgiving dinner in 15 minutes? I mean, come on.
Well, that's why what you do is you do what Jerry Jones did. You buy four widescreen TVs, and instead of a centerpiece, you put four televisions there so everybody can give thanks for making or missing that field goal.
Well, you know, I know that they're going to retire Brett Favre's number this year, and I thought it was going to be at a Chicago game, but it wouldn't be, you know, the first game they're playing September 13th in Chicago, so they wouldn't do it then, and then the next time they're going to play Thanksgiving, so I'm, you know, maybe that'll change.
Well, the interesting thing, too, Pat, is, you know, the day after Christmas, the Eagles host the Redskins, and that's the evening game on December 26th. So we get to have all this Christmas cheer, and then we get to play the Redskins.
Well, and then I get to go the next day if I want to go down to Arizona. Not bad. December 27th, they could play down there. But I'm
Thanksgiving, I just want to verify.
Yeah.
Eagles-Lions is the...
It is
the
Eagles
early
Lions.
Game.
Okay.
Lions,
Packers,
time,
that's 12:30.
And when's Dallas playing?
They're the 4 o'clock game. I'll give you their opponent in a moment.
Okay.
And it's Packers-Bears is the feature game at night.
Right. No, I know that.
So it's Eagles-Lions at 12:30. I thought it was the 4:30 game for some reason. Excuse me. But if you'll notice, the Eagles have the easiest road schedule. Their longest trip is November 8th, and that's to Dallas. No, I take, and, you know, that's not a bad way to do things. I mean, they've got Miami, They're playing most of their games in the Eastern time zone, and you know, they've got a December 6th game against the New England Patriots, who they don't usually play. They play the Bills December 13th. Well, that's just up in New York State. They play the Cardinals at home. They play the Redskins at home. Most of their, except for the January 3rd, last game of the season, a 1 o'clock start with the Giants.
Let's play a couple spots. Maybe John will... come in. He said he was going to be here today. And then let's talk a little bit about the draft. I mean, you know, we're talking 6 days from now. So we'll be back shortly. And, you know, we use any excuse possible to talk football, right, guys?
That's right.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse. These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now. Because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Okay, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, and there are three of us, Ken, Bill, and Pat, and we're waiting for John, who said he was going to get here this afternoon, so I'll check the door to make sure we didn't let we locked him out. We did that once before.
I guess we'll have to do that next commercial time, won't we?
And so, you know, I'm kind of over the NCAA championship loss. My Badgers lost to Duke.
I thought they had that game.
I thought they had that game too. I thought the Badgers played an excellent season.
Well, they did. And the one thing that I found interesting is if you look, and I've said this before, but most of the kids on the Wisconsin team are from Wisconsin. And if you look at Duke, I don't think there was anyone from either North or South Carolina on that team. I mean, they really go out and recruit all over, just like Kentucky does. But in any event...
Duke executed the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yep.
I mean, Duke really was outplayed by Wisconsin for 35 minutes, and come crunch time, Duke executed. What you have to tip your hat. What can you do?
Of course... Wisconsin did that to a couple other teams, too, so what can we say? But hey, what do you think about this NFL draft? Guess who's walking
John's
in?
Here.
We mentioned
John's
draft,
here.
And John
it.
Walks
hey,
in.
How you doing?
And we wanted to talk about a little
back,
bit about
back
the
from Vegas.
Draft. He's back from Vegas. Did you bring us, did you bet on anything?
This is about all I brought from Las Vegas, my water bottle. It says Bowie's on it here.
Wow. But, you lost that much, huh? Lost your shirt?
Actually, had a very good trip last week. Two trips ago wasn't so good, but this trip was very good, and my daughters were with me. It was great. So thanks for having me back. I hope you're all safe and sound and doing well.
Well, John, let me ask you a question before we get started on our favorite sport, football. Well, I hear Las Vegas is about to have an NHL franchise for the 17-18 season. What's the scoop on that?
They are building an arena, I believe, behind New York. And they are expecting to have it done, and I think going to have preseason games there to see how it works and how fans go. And I think there's a realistic possibility that perhaps the Arizona Coyotes, as they go by now, could move up. That would be a logical place. So, yeah, it could possibly happen, sure.
Well, that's exciting. And will they also put an NBA team in there to fill up the dates?
I'm not sure about that. You never know where it goes. But it's interesting you switch to basketball, because I just heard some breaking news that, and as all of our listeners know, that there are lawyers on this show. So you just can't get, as much as the public, you know, can't stand lawyers, you can't live with them, can't live without them. Right, Pat?
That's right.
All right. The latest breaking news is there are two WNBA players, who are involved, and a domestic violence charge has just been made either against one of them or against both of them. So DV charges are pending. Family law lawyers are circling, trying to figure out what to. And the question is, should they treat these WNBA players the same way they are treating domestic violence actors in the NFL, the Ray Rices of the world, things like that? It's now invaded the WNBA. And Pat, can you give us some insight on that as a family law, preeminent family law lawyer?
Well, when you say treat them the same, I mean, have they been, first of all, have they, you know, what's the status of the cases?
As I understand it, they've just been arrested. Okay, this has just come down, been arrested. Acts of domestic violence have been sworn, obviously complaints have been sworn out, acts of domestic violence.
Well, you know, the difficulty with that is you have to look at the Adrian Peterson case against his son and the Ray Rice case. I mean, Ray Rice, it was there, it was videoed. You know, there was no question.
Yeah, that's the big question that's come up, particularly because this is the WNBA. Do we have any video? So, you know, these media types are salivating over the possibility of mud wrestling type pictures coming out of this thing.
Well,
I don't think you're going to get that.
But the point is, what you had with Ray Rice is there was clear evidence. And what you had from Adrian Peterson, is there clear evidence that this little boy was abused? So the question is, should anything happen to anyone simply when there's an accusation? In other words, is this in family? Well, it's not New Jersey, but is it family court? Have the police charged? In general, you know,
my understanding, Pat, is that charges have been filed.
Yeah, but has there been a trial? Is there?
Oh, no. This is breaking news. The whole issue is, should they be treated the same way, the same type of media scrutiny? Should they have the same punishment? Should they apply the same standards to the WNBA players that they have applied to the NFL?
Why wouldn't they?
Well, why wouldn't they?
Well, Ken, I think perhaps you've asked the question, why? When? I'm trying to get some insight from an expert like Pat.
But it's the question is when. And I think that the fact that somebody is accused, you know, it could be false accusations. So
innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
We understand that. But, Bill, the point I'm trying to make here
is because they're women, should they be
guilt for a moment. Now, the fact that these are women, they are in a intimate relationship together. They
exactly.
are both on the same team, perhaps.
Right. Should they be treated the same way? Same standards.
Should.
And I think I tend to agree with Ken.
Why would anybody think differently?
That's the question that's being asked.
I wouldn't
the media
think any
is
differently. I think they would be treated exactly the same as if it were two men living together, or a man and a woman living together, who get into this type of violence.
Well,
what's the case about exactly?
It's domestic violence. These two women are together. They're in a relationship. They're both professional WNBA basketball players. So, you know, they're world-class athletes. And I guess one or both of them just wailed at the other. And, you know, these are pretty powerful people. And so you're talking some pretty serious personal injuries.
Well, and in fact, and in fact,
fisticuffs or whatever it might
be,
Ken.
And, you know, in other words, if in fact, and if there are serious
I don't think there's
injuries.
Much if about them. Report I heard, there's not much if. The issue for the media is, I guess, well, legally they're saying, should the same standards apply? I think Ken and Bill are correct. Of course they should. But I think the media is popping this up, and then we'll move on here. But their point is, should it be? I mean, let's face it, for 6 months you heard nothing but Ray Rice.
Right.
Okay? They knocked his girlfriend out an elevator. That was so egregious. But they're saying, should we just say, oh, ho-hum, another DV charge, or should we say, hey, wait a minute, these are professional athletes, they're in the public eye, we're going to put them in the same fishbowl that Ray Rice was in?
Well, you know, it's a teaching moment, too, for this league. The WNBA is something that a lot of young women and girls aspire to. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for a teaching moment, particularly.
What would be the message, Bill?
I
agree with you.
The domestic violence
is wrong.
It's wrong. And it doesn't make any difference. You're all assuming, and right now, for example, I represent a client who is the man, and there is a final restraining order against his former wife. So it's not supposed to be sex-based in any way. The part of the problem with the media is they focus on certain cases, and they go with it to the point of, you know, I
sensationalism?
Was so sick of hearing about the Ray Rice case.
Oh, God, I think we all are.
You know, so that's the issue. But whether they should treat this any differently, I can't imagine that anyone would say it should be treated any differently. It will not be treated or should not be treated any differently in the courts.
Okay.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
The question, though, is, you know, you've got the criminal justice system, and then you've got the sports leagues.
Yeah, court of public opinion, Bill.
Well, you can call it that too if you want, but more importantly, you know, these are highly paid, highly skilled professional athletes. Each team who signs a contract with them has an interest which they have a right to protect. In them being physically fit and able
exactly
to
right, but and that's another one of the issues. Exactly yeah. Right, that we haven't mentioned that. What do the teams do here? We know what the Baltimore Ravens did. Okay,
yeah,
the teams they have a right to protect their interests. That presumably the WNBA contracts have the same morals clause in that other professional standard contracts do. So a lot of interesting questions here.
And you know, this
black guy on the
this
lead.
May very well be governed by a collective bargaining agreement, which says that the player will do nothing to cause themselves injury. There was a problem years and years ago when Bill Mombouquet got hurt skiing. Maybe you Red Sox fans remember that.
Well, actually, it's Jim Lomborg, but who's counting?
I was close, but you know, you've got that problem too. I mean, if you ever sit down and read a pro contract or read the collective bargaining agreements.
Yeah.
I don't know why we as lawyers have to spend our leisure time reading contracts that have nothing to do with
because somebody pays us to do it,
okay,
Bill.
Okay, guys,
that's
I'm going to play
okay?
the news and we'll go. We'll be back right after.
And when we come back, I want to hear Ken's take on the New York Rangers.
How about the Mets?
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Obama administration is looking at streamlining information given to families of terror hostages. The move comes in the aftermath of the two Al-Qaeda-held hostages killed during drone strikes.
This fusion cell would incorporate elements of the FBI, the Department of Defense and State, the intelligence community, all of whom are involved in the mission to try to rescue American citizens who are being held hostage.
That was White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, who also says the White House continues defending the use of drones.
We can't use special operations troops to go after every terrorist in the world. We can't conduct an Osama bin Laden-style raid against every terrorist.
Meanwhile, Italian authorities believe they have broken up a terror network that had planned an attack on the Vatican. The 18 Islamic extremists sought in raids today are also suspected in a Pakistani market attack that killed more than 100 people. This is USA Headline News.
Musicians, it's Guitar Center's spring clearance. Save huge on over 25 million in clearance gear. Leftover special buys, demos, open box, warehouse finds, and more. Incredible price drops store-wide. 11 million in markdowns on guitars, amps, and effects. 14 million more in drums, keyboards, and tech. Massive savings on brands like Fender, Gibson, Yamaha, DW, Korg, Shure, and more. But remember, each location and GuitarCenter.com has its own selection, and it's first come, first serve. Guitar Center's spring clearance kicks off now.
Bunnies in the garden. Yeah, rabbits are cute. Squirrels too. Till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants. Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no-stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them. We just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Animal Be Gone lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Well, we're back with the sports guys, and they're just chomping. I think we have to start with John, or he's going to, you know, jump through the ceiling.
He's going to explode, Pat. You better hit that safety valve. Take it away, John Manfreda.
Okay. Well, again, I know we want to get to the Rangers and Penguins and so forth, but, of course, the draft is a week away, NFL draft.
6 days.
Less than a week. Wow. A lot of speculation about, you know, moving up, moving down. Almost every team in the league is a player in this draft. The Cleveland Browns are a big-time player. They got two first-round draft picks. They got two of the top. The first pick is around the Giants pick, around Giants pick 9. I think they're around 11. And then I think they have a higher pick than they've got. I think they've got two of the first like 15 picks, something like that.
Yeah, the Packers are 30.
Yeah, well, so. They're probably one of the few teams that really aren't a player in this draft. But the major. Let me ask you a question this way. What kind of a draft would it be where second and third round picks are more valuable than first round picks?
2004.
I know the answer.
2004.
2015. They are coveting second and third round picks because this draft is very deep, and you gotta pay first round picks so much money that nobody wants to do it. So they're loading up on second and third round picks. And you want to take a guess what the Philadelphia Eagles don't have?
They don't have
a second round pick. And they say
don't.
They used it in the Bradford trade. They gave Nick Foles and a second round pick, which is gold in this draft, for an injury prone Sam Bradford. So,
wow.
That a lot of people are looking at that now saying, you know, Foles for Bradford straight up might have been not a bad trade, but to throw in a second round pick, which is like a first round pick this year, is really gonna hurt. So, but I think that there's significant talk about at the quarterback position, you know, teams jockeying to move up. The problem is Tennessee sits at number 2.
Exactly.
And you know what? They really don't have a quarterback either.
Exactly.
But no, people for some reason seem to be taking it for granted that they're not going to take Mariota.
Well, I know they've been talking
about that. I don't understand
that.
See, I think from Tennessee's perspective, they know their team is several years away. If they take Mariota, they're going to be still going to be a three win, four win team. They're years away. I think what they prefer to do is sign a free agent quarterback, draft a fourth or fifth round quarterback, and develop them. And that what they want to do is parlay that second pick into about six other picks in the second and third and fourth rounds and get fat quick. Bill?
You know, that's an interesting theory. I think they are going to go after Mariota's because they can always then trade him. I think they're going to spend an awful lot of money to sign him. They may not want to sign him because of the cap hit they may have to take. And, you know, drafting a first-rounder who's obviously still going to be a rookie, still has to learn the system. You're also taking another risk, and that's the risk of injury if you've got a bad offensive line.
Can you say RG3?
Exactly. And you also have the other problem. If your offensive line isn't good and your running backs can't block, you're going to see this guy bouncing on the turf an awful lot. Yeah,
and that's why I think they're not going to take him.
Well,
I
let me
think
ask
they're going to trade it for a boatload of draft picks.
Do you think the Chargers will trade up to get Mariota?
That was one of the speculations, that they'll trade Phillip Rivers.
Well, Phil Rivers is in his last year of that contract.
Right. He does not want to stay there.
He doesn't really want
to
stay there. But what they say is he doesn't want to go to Tennessee, because that's been speculated. Supposedly Rivers doesn't want to play in Tennessee. He knows he's going to be cannon fodder. So, but Tennessee's got to find the right spot, and it could be Philadelphia, but Philadelphia will have to forfeit its first-round pick for the next 10 years to get him.
So what's happening? Nobody's talking about Winston. How come?
Well, you know, it's a very good pick.
Tampa.
You know what? I think a lot of teams are happy they don't have a first pick this year. Because you know what? If you're Tampa Bay, you pretty much got to make the pick. Because if you don't take him and he turns out to be the next, you know, Roethlisberger type play that wins two or three Super Bowls, you know, that GM will go down in infamy as a buffoon. So you got to take the pick. But when you take it, it's a big risk. They don't have a very good team. They got to get some offensive line help there. And you know, where do you go with that? But you're in it. That's why. And you got to pay a boatload of money for this guy. I think the last pick I'd like to have in this draft is that first pick.
Well, you know something? They can always say he's a character risk and go for Mariota's.
A lot of people are speculating they will take Mariota, and that Winston could actually fall in this draft. But too many people are citing Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, remember,
he's a Ben Roethlisberger type player.
But remember, if you go back, and I was thinking about this, 2004, there were three quarterbacks. Do you know what? Let's see, Bill.
There's four Super Bowls who have won them.
Yeah, but do you know what Roethlisberger, what number he was taken at?
Oh, he was taken low first round.
11.
I thought
11.
So.
I went back and looked. And, of course, Eli Manning, which was interesting that year, you know, I thought he was a little punk saying he wouldn't play for the Chargers. You know,
he wasn't an 11th round pick.
Eli was number one.
He was traded.
He was picked by the Chargers and said he wouldn't play for them.
Yeah.
So the Chargers traded him to New York.
But don't you think that was all set up prior?
No, it absolutely was. I don't think so.
No way.
I agree with Ken. I think that was all orchestrated.
Yeah,
they knew that was going to play out because they also threw in they wanted the second round pick. They wanted Phillip Rivers. The Giants were going to take Rivers. They wanted the second round pick and another player.
Well, they wanted
the Giants refused to give the second round pick, which was like the 33rd or 34th pick in the draft. Because you know who they took with the 33rd pick? Chris Snee. And they wanted Eli and a solid wall of an offensive lineman. So they took Chris Snee out of Boston College.
Tom Coughlin.
But you really think that I have
son-in-law.
If you saw Eli's face when they picked him, I mean, either he was a best actor going if he really thought he was going to go to the Giants.
He looked like a spoiled brat. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
He looked just like John Elway. There's a whole host. Remember Jeff George? All of these guys. I'm not playing in Baltimore and all of that stuff. Elway pulled the same thing. Everybody forgets about that.
Yeah.
He got drafted by the Colts and refused to play.
Yeah. But
it's going to be an exciting, interesting draft. I think you are going to find on the day before the draft, on draft day, which they say this is – last year they got tremendous ratings. This year, this could
be
the highest rated
show
of the year.
And if it –
because everybody's
don't
lives – it's going to affect everybody's life. Everybody.
And if you don't watch it, you're going to tape it and watch it later.
But where is it this year? Is it in New York?
No, I think actually they moved it. They're trying to move it around a bit,
Chicago?
I can't remember where. It might be Chicago.
Because I know friends of mine, I never went, but friends of mine used to go.
Oh, yeah, they say it's like a very big
thing. It's a wild scene. I know there's always a flurry of trades. There's probably a team that we haven't even considered
yet.
No,
somebody will come out of the dark horse, will come out.
Yeah, out of left field, and they'll make the trade with Tennessee do whatever it takes.
Well, you know who I'd love the Packers to take, but they don't really need him? I love Gordon, the Badger running back.
He's got good power and speed.
Run up to the Heisman.
He may be available at the 30th pick.
No, but they don't really need him. But I would still like to see him go to the Packers.
They want some depth at the running back position. Well, he might be there.
Lacy, I just would like to see him play because I watched him very carefully when he played for Wisconsin, and he was really pretty terrific.
Let's talk Giants for a minute. What are the Giants? I mean, if you were the Giants, what position would you look at?
Offensive line. They project them to the top offensive tackle in the draft is what they predict that the Giants are going to get at 9.
Well, that's who the Packers also need, an offensive tackle. Yeah. And they really need someone to open up those
holes. But at 30, you're not
going to
get that. Now, you're talking about guys that are solid on the line for 10 years. And that they'll have Pugh, and they'll have this guy, and they re-signed John Jerry, and the offensive line will be much, much better this year.
You're talking about Scherf?
From
Iowa?
Yeah, kid from Iowa. He's a monster.
Let me ask you this. Last year, I was appalled, little did I know, when the Giants took a wide receiver with their first pick.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, it's the Giants. It's ground and pound. He grabbed an offensive line.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
But the Giants have always, you're exactly right about that, but the Giants' philosophy has always been, if there's an irresistible, after the draft, I saw an interview, and John Mara said, we were shocked that this kid is still there at 12. He could have gone number one. He was the highest rated player on the Giants board.
Is there a chance that Cooper is available at 9 when the Giants pick? Is that possible? I mean, he's the top wide receiver in the draft, according to the point.
I don't think the Giants
are a college
wide
football
receiver
fan,
again. I can't. They have too many other needs. No, I don't think so.
Because they say Cooper is as highly
Beckham.
Beckham.
It's true. If you think about the Marx Brothers in Miami, you have two receivers like that. How do you cover them?
I'm thinking if he's there, I think they'll take him. I don't think he's going to make it to 9, though.
You may be right. I think he was projected to be a fifth or sixth pick.
Right.
Well, Ted Thompson always did that, took the best guy. I mean, remember, they did not need a quarterback when they took Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But that was the philosophy of the Packers. And
take
the best player available. And if you ever look at the Packers, I mean, the fact that they traded and got Peppers last year was kind of astonishing because they usually bring their kids up through the draft.
No, I think I agree. The best philosophy is take the best player available because if you're going by position, you might get the 10th best player available. And how does that help your team? That means 9 teams picking behind you got a player better than you.
I think the general rule is all things being equal, you draft for need, but primarily you prime directive is you draft the best player available.
They were saying in some of the Philadelphia stations this morning that the idea of drafting for the best athlete is all well and good, but you look at your deficiencies. You look at how somebody might fit into your system. You look at how somebody who runs a certain type of offense or a certain type of defense is going to fit into your schemes and with your existing players. And sure, you try to fill holes, and certainly you want the best athlete you can find. But you want to, it's one thing to draft a receiver with blinding speed whose hands aren't quite that good. What do we call those guys? We call them safeties. we call them cornerbacks. The Eagles have a problem at safety. They're a little weak in the cornerback department. And the defensive line is not what it could be. Chip Kelly's a ground-and-pound kind of guy. He's a short offense kind of guy. I don't know why they picked up Tim Tebow, except that they think it's possible they can train him to fit into that system. But you know, they also have Barkley, who's been sitting there, who's a talented guy and who can certainly.
Barkley was a huge mistake. He's got a shoulder problem. He can't throw the ball. Yeah. They made a. They took a big gamble. They drafted him with the third pick, and that was a big mistake. And the fact that they picked up Sanchez, and now they've added Tebow, and they've traded for Bradford. He's not in their plans. They had to pay him some good money, and they keep. But he may not even be on the final run. I actually look for him to get cut by the Eagles.
He looks like a scarecrow, right? He's like a dodge.
Some people are making the joke that Chip Kelly wants to turn the Eagles into the New York Jets. He's got Tebow.
Sanchez, Tebow.
Sanchez. Who else is out there? I mean, the teams both use the color green.
Green.
I guess he has this. You can't say he's a Rex Ryan wannabe because he's too polite. But on the other hand, you know, it's become almost bizarre when you think about Chip Kelly. Certainly, he's a bright guy. He's an excellent coach.
Oh, Cow Chip thinks he's the smartest guy in the room all the time.
He may very well be. But he
depends who's in the room.
That's true. But you know. Tebow's been working out. Somebody's been working with his throwing mechanics. Maybe he fits into a short gain offense. I don't know.
Exactly. That's the speculation. Yeah. You know, frankly, it was a no-brainer. Really, it's a no-risk deal. If it doesn't pan out, if he doesn't have a good training camp, they'll cut him and that's it.
Yeah.
That happened in New England. That happened in New York. I mean, you know, this is his last go-round. But what I heard was, you know, when the story broke, you know, if you think back to two games they lost last year, they were on the 1 yard line and couldn't get it in.
That's true.
And they're saying Tebow would have got that ball in the end zone.
Well, remember, a short, accurate passer who is your backup quarterback and you put in for something like that may make some sense. The other thing too is that you have in Tebow somebody who's not going to give you character problems.
Come on, let's have a little character problems. It spices it up.
Yeah, well, I prefer.
He's like the anti-character problem, which is a character problem in itself.
He's a character, yeah.
Everybody else has a problem, he doesn't. That makes him stand out.
Exactly right, Ken.
Look, I was very disappointed that.
So you want another Steve Young is what you want.
No.
Another lawyer comes into the conversation.
Yeah. I don't want Steve
another
Young.
Good Mormon boy.
What I was hoping for is Michael Vick comes running out of onto the Lincoln Financial Field, and over the loudspeakers you hear, "Who let the dogs out?"
Well, look, it is interesting the way they did that. One of the things that I think is interesting from the Packers standpoint is they say, and it's really true, that McCarthy probably has the best offensive line that he's had, and yet I could see them picking up another, if they could get somebody good for their offensive line, they need one more person who can really open up the holes for Lacy. You know, they just do.
Yeah, no, I think Green Bay's poised to have a good year. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, in Vegas, they're 4-1 odds to win, which was kind of shocking, more than Seattle and more than New England.
Well, and the next thing we have to watch is Aaron Rodgers go on Jeopardy. I never watched Jeopardy, but he's going to be on Jeopardy, so let's see.
Can you imagine if he's on Jeopardy and they bring out Franz and what's the other guy's name?
I just hope they give him a lot of sports questions.
The skit I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Franz.
I just hope they give him an awful lot of
Franz and
sports.
Hans and Franz. Right. Yeah.
Let's play a couple spots, and then because we're going to have to get off the air very shortly to get back.
When we come back, it's a power play go!
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamily.org.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with
Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce are offering a free seminar, Keeping Your Business Safe, on Tuesday, April 28th at 5:30 at the Historic Courthouse in Flemington. This program will include a presentation by Prosecutor Anthony Kearns and then an in-depth discussion by the FBI about physical security and identity theft.
We're back. Woo.
Feedback.
We're back. We're going to say goodbye because we've been told we need to get off the air so on time because otherwise
we'll screw up the weekend. Well, Ken, give us the rundown on the Rangers.
The rundown on the Rangers is they have not yet, in the first four games of the series, they haven't really played their A game. They haven't brought their A game
yet. I was
going
to say, they're lucky to be up 3-1, Ken.
You know, Pittsburgh, in the past, Pittsburgh has always been the high-flying team, and the Rangers are trying to slow them down. Now, this year, with the Pittsburgh injuries,
yes.
Malkin's invisible. I guess he's got some sort of a physical problem.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. Pittsburgh is doing whatever they can to slow the Rangers down.
Rangers have a tremendous team speed.
To a large extent, they have slowed the Rangers down. But all that being said, they're playing Pittsburgh's game, really, yet they're ahead 3-1. So hopefully tonight they can clinch it. We hope the Islander Capital Series goes 7 games, and they're all triple overtime games from here on out. Because I tell you what, the Islanders Capitals, those are big, strong, fast teams. The Rangers are going to have
They're going to give the Rangers. I said all along, Washington should have beat them last year. And Washington, if they get a go against Washington, Washington's going to want revenge because Washington blew that series.
Either one is going to be a tall order for the Rangers. So I'm hoping for a lot of double overtime and triple overtime games in Game 6 and 7 for the Rangers. That's my take on the Rangers. And if they could get their power play going, we have Boyle, we have Yandel, and they still can't score power play goals. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's not been a strength. Ken, real quick, what about those New York Mets?
The Mets are only the sixth team in the history of baseball. Now, we've been playing baseball over 120 years in this country. They're only the sixth team in history to have a 10-0 homestand. That's how good the Mets are this year. It hasn't been done since 1991. 91 Twins, 88 Red Sox, 61 Yankees, 46 Red Sox, and 21 Brooklyn Dodgers. Bill, how were the Dodgers in 21? Were they good that year?
The Dodgers were Dodgers were considered the bums. They weren't a good team. They were considered to be,
didn't the Cardinals beat them in the World Series, though?
Not a clue. In 21,
like
no clue.
Astros then. I think the Red Sox were the world champions in
1915.
1918
was the last, before 2004, 1918 was the last time the Red Sox won.
I stand corrected, but 1921, the Yankees had just acquired Babe Ruth. They had Wally Pipp. They also had Lou Gehrig coming aboard late that year. And 21, the Yankees were not quite there. I think they finished second.
You were there. I can't comment.
But the Dodgers were not considered to be a good team for a long time. A team that was really good was in Manhattan, the Giants.
There you go. But the big news this weekend, Mets-Yankees, Subway Series. Yankees are hot. The Mets are hot. Should be a great weekend. We're going to have nothing but sun. Not going to be very warm, but we should have a nice, sunny, dry weekend series.
So what's your prediction?